Welcome to the Snap UK podcast, your one-stop podcast shop for all your NFL news and views. On today's episode, we debate the value of the Pro Bowl, air our views on the news topics from the last week, and preview the big game that's scheduled for the coming weekend. In the second half of the show, we'll be making our case for our team of the decade, formed from the best players over the last 10 years. But should we go straight into it? The Pro Bowl. Is it worth it?
The fact that when I read through the running order, I said, oh God, you're not expecting me to talk about that, are you? Because I did not watch it at all. Pretty much for me says it all.
Yeah, it's a wasted game. That's basically there. So Hawaii makes...
It was in Orlando. I know that much.
See, I don't even know where it was. Look, the game itself is a dud because no one wants to get injured playing in the Pro Bowl.
It's
nice to honour people by saying, you're a Pro Bowler. That's fine. They should just expand the skills challenge and have the game, if you like, decided by the skills challenge.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are other things they could put into the skills challenge.
Yeah, just extend it out and make it more entertaining.
Make it like a three-day event
of
skills.
Like, what was that old? Superstars.
Yeah.
Superstars.
Superstars.
Niche knowledge there for the UK audience.
Effectively, what you
it's
want...
It's a knockout.
Or gladiators or ninja warrior.
Yeah.
Something like that, but for the Pro Bowl. That would be fine.
I also think a karaoke contest could be good fun.
A karaoke contest? Yeah, absolutely.
Let's test them at skills that they don't show on a football field, like singing.
Ironing. Stuff like that.
Dancing.
Rollerblading. Stuff like that. It'd be amazing.
Stuff that they can't get injured on, right?
Decoupage.
Yeah, origami. There you go. I mean, I think, and a bit like with the compulsory Olympics, they just get drawn out of a hat.
Oh yeah.
So you know,
I quite liked it when the Pro Bowl was that they drafted a team out of the order, because that at least then it was something quite entertaining.
They only did that for a couple of seasons.
It was only a couple of seasons, and then went back to the AFC versus the NFC. I can see the benefit of that, but. I don't know. It's just something else to watch, which was quite interesting. And again, they got some decent personalities in to coach the team. The year I watched it was Jerry Rice versus Deion Sanders, who are two legendary characters of the game. And it was something else added into the whole process. But otherwise, like, it's not like the Pro Bowl was back in, you know, 20, 30 years ago, where the players weren't getting paid as much, so that Pro Bowl bonus of winning the Pro Bowl was worth something. And they used to actually play a proper game. Now it's the game's pointless. It's a bit of a show-off skill contest within the game, but just make it a skill contest.
Yeah. Well, the only way they're going to keep it is because it makes money. But
yeah, but it could make more. I'm sure you could sell more tickets for a three-day skills challenge than you could for a one-day Pro Bowl, couldn't you not? Yeah. I would imagine. For the record, it was 33-38 in favour of the AFC.
Damn. I lost my bet.
Not even the highest scoring game of the season.
No, and yet no one was tackling, I suspect.
I was following the NFL UK group on Sunday night on Facebook, and there was obviously a lot of new fans going, why aren't there any tackles?
This game's really soft.
Yeah, you know, and you're like, because no one wants to get injured, you know.
Ought to discuss Jarvis Landry's performance in the skills challenges.
Oh, it was superb.
When he pretty much won the whole thing for the AFC with his double catch elimination in a 3-on-1 contest in the dodgeball.
Yep.
In which he was amazing.
Yeah. He is amazing. I mean, he's had an amazing season. I went to an NFL live event a couple of years back. It had Jarvis Landry and Kirk Cousins, and they tried to break the record for behind the back catches, and Kirk Cousins was throwing it. And if Kirk Cousins had been a little bit better, there's no doubt that Jarvis Landry would have broken that record, because he's got absolutely amazing hand-eye coordination.
Yeah, he has. He pretty much, like I say, won it by himself. Russell Wilson, on the other hand, didn't seem to understand that the idea of dodgeball was catch the ball or get out the way, because he eliminated himself by diving at a ball that was going to bounce at his feet. He dived at it and it hit him. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I'm out.
He's also wearing some very stupid sunglasses.
Well, apparently they were for the skills passing challenge, where you had to beat the cornerback into the bins in the corner of a wall so that they couldn't read the eyes.
Oh, I see.
Then he left them on and was crap at everything else.
Yes.
Never mind.
I did see Lamar in when they're throwing at the targets.
Yeah.
And he scored two.
Two. Yeah. Accurate passing was not his thing.
No.
And sadly, they didn't ask him to run out there and go through three players to score points. So, you know, But anyway, that is the Pro Bowl wrapped up because there is nothing else to say about it. Yeah, you really can't do much with it.
If it was a proper game, it would be fascinating to watch in terms of, like, you do get the best players playing.
How do you make that happen?
But you can't because,
it needs to have stakes to make it, and there's no stakes.
Yeah. If you offered each of the players $5 million...
It doesn't make any difference, does it? Because the money they're getting paid on a season-by-season basis is so great, and the teams paying them that much money don't want to see them get injured. You know, imagine if Russell Wilson had torn his ACL, or Lamar Jackson had torn his ACL in the Pro Bowl game. That's him out for a year, missing all the off-season and probably the first half of the season. You know, teams don't want that. Players don't want that. They go for a laugh. Fair play to them. But yeah, I mean, don't bother with the game. Make it a skills contest and a bit of entertainment, a bit of fun.
It is a holiday, effectively, isn't it? So let's make it more of a holiday.
And that's the whole point of it.
Make it like Heidi High.
Well, that's the whole point of it being Hawaii originally, is that it was, you know, almost like a reward for getting into the Pro Bowl for the players. They get to go somewhere nice, they get to play a little game, and, you know, have a bit of time together at the end of the season.
Well, I think that's that covered. Should we move on to the news? Kobe Bryant's dead.
Yeah. Sad news from the NBA.
It's sort of dominated the...
It's dominated sports news.
Yeah. And the first day of the Super Bowl news conferences, which is obvious, you know, he's a big name in US sport.
He's one of those basketball players that he's transcended not just basketball in terms of pretty much every sports fan in the world knows who he is and knows some of what he's done on the basketball court, but he's also transcended the sports world in that, you know, politicians are talking about him passing away. You know, Aoife, my wife, knew who he was when the news started came out, and she doesn't know anything about basketball. And I expect the same for other people around this country specifically who don't so much follow the NBA.
Yeah, my sister phoned me to find out if it was true, and I didn't know. Did she know who Kobe Bryant was?
You know, he has a legacy of both excelling on the basketball court, and there's the other side of it, which a lot of people on Twitter are keen to bring out, which, you know, from his court case. But he seems to be one of the few sports stars who has had an experience and rehabilitated himself from that. So
yeah, turns out people are going to say what they like in court anyway. So you just don't know, do you?
Well,
yeah, he also won an Oscar as well. So,
of course, he did.
Yeah, he won an Oscar for best short film 2 years ago. When he retired, he wrote a poem called "Dear Basketball," and that poem was made into a short film, and it won an Oscar.
I did not know that.
There you go.
So, yeah, so very sad to see. You know, he's an inspiration not just to basketball players, but to a lot of NFL players as well. Richard Sherman was talking about him yesterday on the media day at the Super Bowl, and pretty much my NFL Twitter feed was just filled with similar kind of.
Of course, as well, there's the sad story of course his daughter and the other
seven other people
have died.
Horrible.
So horrible stuff. And not getting any lighter. Antonio Brown, it just says here, is a douche.
Sums it up.
It pretty much sums it up.
He's had his ankle tag removed today.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he's just bound to house arrest, but he hasn't got to wear the tag because that would be inconvenient. I don't really know what it's been accused of doing. Battery and breaking in and being mean?
I've just given up.
There's so many now.
All I heard was that there was a warrant out for his arrest last week or late.
Yeah, he turned himself in,
which is a sensible thing to do.
I think
he was filmed verbally assaulting his ex, wasn't he, while she tried to take the kids from the house.
Yes,
and then the next thing I knew, he was like being hauled around by the police.
Apparently, this is for battery of someone who was taking possession of his things. I don't know
either way, you just don't beat someone up.
Has it got to the point now, like,
yes,
almost we don't consider him a football player?
Yeah,
no, he's Antonio Brown, the criminal celebrity.
Yeah,
and then he used to play football. Yeah. I think his football career is over.
Yeah,
I can't. It's fair to
play. I can't imagine any team signing
him. Unless the Browns want him.
You never know.
But even they're past that point in their in
because even the Raiders couldn't cope. Yeah. So
I mean, if the Raiders can't cope, you know, the Browns maybe under with you know Dorsey there maybe would have taken a chance. But even he's left now, so I'd rule them out.
Yeah, it's like 20 weeks since we sat here laughing at his blistered feet about and like how good he would be if he could just you know not have his feet fall off.
And that was pretty much the highlight of his year.
I will say one thing, and this goes back to I was going to write an article on this week. How good a personnel manager is Mike Tomlin?
He must be brilliant.
Because
yeah, like,
okay,
shows.
Yeah, there were a couple of things that happened when he was at the Steelers, but not to this extent. And he kept him, Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger, all relatively cohesive and playing, and you know, always in with at the very least a playoff chance and pointing in the right direction. As soon as they all leave, Big Ben's not left, obviously, but the other two have left, and it's all gone a bit Pete Tong for them.
Yeah, I can't add anything else at the moment because, although, has anyone been watching The Masked Singer on ITV?
No.
Yes.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
But on the American show, do you know who the first person eliminated was?
Was it Antonio Brown?
It was Antonio Brown.
Oh, God.
Do you know who the third player eliminated was? Third person eliminated?
Yeah.
It was a football player, American football player. It was Terry Bradshaw. Third, it was Gladys Knight.
What?
Brilliant.
As in Gladys Knight and the Pips?
Yeah, the singer. Wow. She came third on a singing talent show. but back to the football.
Please.
Eli Manning. It's been bubbling for probably since this time last week. He officially retired on Friday. And now, of course, the questions are all going to be, is he going to Canton?
Yeah, he can go and look at Peyton Statue.
I was going to say. So
I think, Jim, you were in support of him going to Canton, were you not?
I was. I wrote an article about it last week called Goodbye, Eli.
Would you like to sum that up and tell me why you think he should be going to Canton?
It's true that he's never been the most dominant of quarterbacks in his era, but as I
neither
heard,
have I.
Well,
I
was there for a couple of years.
Yeah, as has been said on a few other podcasts, you can't tell the story of the NFL and the football history without mentioning Eli Manning in terms of what he's done for the game, and all the way back from when he was first drafted, the controversy of how he was ended up in New York. All the way through to kind of two Super Bowl wins. And yes, the Giants had good defenses in both those years, but there were a couple of plays. Yeah, the helmet catch by David Tyree wasn't just a great catch by Tyree. Eli Manning kind of escaped
the
probably about four sacks just in that single play to actually make that incredible pass. And then in the next Super Bowl against the Patriots, and let's not forget, he beat the Patriots twice.
The undefeated Patriots.
Yeah. In the next Super Bowl, that throw to Mario Manningham on the sideline, again, very good catch. But that throw was pinpoint in a very under pressure situation. He finishes his career seventh in all time passing. Yes, he has a record of 500. It's distinctly average, but he played on some bad Giants team as well, which would have been a lot worse without Eli Manning. So yeah, he's not his brother. He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not Tom Brady. I reckon if you put Eli Manning in the Patriots instead of Tom Brady, he would have got similar results.
As well, I will say also that when we did win the Super Bowl, our defense was good, but it wasn't great. It's not, you know, it's not
wasn't
not
a
Legion of Boom or
yeah.
Exactly, yeah. So it's a narrative, obviously, but I think it's overplayed a little.
Yeah. Also, here's a Walter Payton Man of the Year. So he does a lot of work off the field as well, which shouldn't be underestimated.
Yeah. I'll be sad to see him go because I've got used to New York. But
he's a massive part of the NFL, history of the NFL, but especially that franchise in terms of how he ended up in New York. And it's Eric, of course, he kind of made that trade on draft day. And then... yeah, he's a big, massive part of the Giants' history, which is a very kind of blue chip franchise within the NFL.
Yeah. Have you got anything to add, Mike?
So many things. but here's the thing. Eli will go to Canton because if he only won one Super Bowl, he doesn't get near Canton. One Super Bowl does not get him in.
No, probably not.
But two Super Bowls, like you said, means you cannot discuss the history of the Super Bowl era without Eli Manning. Whilst I find it strange that I support his candidacy, and I am a believer that you can get lucky twice, he was the Iron Man for so long. It's not his fault that Giants team was crap. We see brilliant players on crap teams all the time. He happens to be a quarterback who's been on a crap team more than half of his career.
Yeah.
And I just... The two Super Bowls gets him in. He will be forever in my mind as a player that I just don't feel should be in the Hall of Fame.
John Elway's in the Hall of Fame. He's got two Super Bowls. Eli's got two Super Bowls, but Eli's got two Super Bowl MVPs. John Elway's only got one.
Michael Strahan should have probably had one of those MVPs.
Yeah, probably, but, you know, it's a quarterback's game, isn't it?
Like I say, I think he may have got lucky twice, but you've got to be in it. The biggest thing for me, it's not the 117-117 record or the 244 interceptions. It's the number of seasons he didn't make the playoffs.
But when he does get to the playoffs, he's been amazing.
No, two playoff runs, no other wins. No other wins in the other four seasons.
Those two playoff runs, he won.
Yeah.
He got all the way and
that's
won.
Fine. And so I've conceded the point. I'm just saying, look, he might be the worst quarterback in Canton.
Greasy.
I don't have his.
He was the Dolphins quarterback during their two Super Bowl wins in the 70s. And I think in the first Super Bowl, he threw 8 passes. In the second Super Bowl, he threw 11 passes.
So Bob Greasy might be the luckiest quarterback in Canton. But Eli might be the worst statistical quarterback in Canton. I think that's a fair thing. I can't think of anybody who genuinely stands out as being a worse. Like you, all of the other quarterbacks in Canton, you would pick to be in your team ahead of Eli. Definitely.
I wouldn't pick Bob Greasy ahead of him.
I probably would. I probably would. I don't know enough about Bob Greasy. I will also concede that point. And actually, I don't want to be negative about it. Look,
to be fair, it's a different era.
It's another sign of the era that we grew up watching the NFL is changing. Peyton's gone. Andrew Luck's gone. Eli's gone. Rivers, we're about to talk about next. It looks like they're moving on from Rivers, which they should. He needs to go, and no, he shouldn't be going to Canton because he didn't win anything.
Yeah, Big Ben's on his last legs.
Big Ben's Brady, on his last legs. Brady's at least leaving the Patriots, if not retiring by the looks of things.
Aaron Rodgers is on the decline.
The podcast dog seems to have stolen John's script, which is excellent work. Well done, dog. And so things are changing, and you have to accept it. That's just how it is. And I never thought I'd hear myself say that.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. How is your half-eaten script?
It was fine. It was when it went on the floor and then the dog sat on it, so I couldn't move it. But, well, let's move on to, as you said, Rivers. I think they'll be, due to that draft, they'll be linked forever, but it does look like the chances of moving on.
That seems to be the plan, and it's the correct plan. Assumedly, they're going to pick up one of these many, many quarterbacks that are coming out in the following draft. I think there's four tipped for the first round and about another half dozen over the next couple of rounds after that. You've got thing the Chargers will. Don't forget, they've got Tyrod Taylor, who is an excellent candidate as a bridge quarterback. So if you need someone for a year while your new quarterback sits and learns, nothing wrong with Taylor. T-Mobile, done.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they were missing at the Chargers last year, was a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, especially that offensive line not being great as well. So on the off chance they don't pick a quarterback, and I completely agree, I think they will, ding. They'll pick someone up, an offensive lineman. They've got the sixth pick in the first round of the draft, so you know they're not going to get Joe Burrows, they're not going to get Tua Tagovailoa. Justin Herbert or Jordan Love are the two vying for that third quarterback spot, and you know, both had pretty good senior bowls from everything I hear.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Okay, well,
where do we think Rivers ends up?
Retired.
I got a sneaky feeling he could end up with the Colts.
I think that would be an enormous backward step. Because
I don't think the Colts are that enamoured with Jacoby Brissett after last year.
I don't, but
I know they had to give him that contract because they had to do something after Luck retired. I wouldn't be surprised if it's similar to what they Tennessee did with Tannehill, bring in a bit of a veteran, just shake things up a little bit.
Yeah, but Rivers and is a bad veteran.
It's in the South as well, which is where all his family is.
Tannehill wasn't washed up. Rivers is done,
isn't
he? But I can't. I mean, he's moved his family to Florida, apparently, all of them.
Yeah.
Which is no cheap deal.
all 84 children.
Yeah. But you can't see Miami. You can't see Jacksonville. I can't see Tampa picking him up. Tennessee, I think, are set. That kind of leaves the Colts in terms of like South teams, because none of the NFC South are going to take him either, because they're all set at quarterback.
I think it's over for Philip Rivers. I think he should be walking away. Maybe he just wants a nice holiday in Florida. I would be disappointed to see him on a team. I don't think he makes any of the teams better. I would take Jacoby Brissett last year over Philip Rivers last year.
Oh, God, yeah.
The only difference is the O-line at the Colts is far superior to the O-line.
Yeah.
At the Chargers, and I get it, but the O-line wasn't the only problem. Even when he was protected, he was wildly inaccurate.
Yeah, I mean, I just think I've heard Tom Brady going to the Colts as well. Yeah. I think it's a sneaky something to look out for. The Colts
makes sense for Brady, because if you keep him upright, he's still a good quarterback.
Yeah,
but
for the
Rivers is not.
For the Chargers, do you not have a word with Los Gruden, Derek Carr? He doesn't seem enamoured with Derek Carr.
I think Derek Carr's definitely coming onto the market.
Yeah, I do as well.
The Raiders are going to play that one close to their chest, see who's available. I still think there's a small chance Brady ends up there because he wants an older quarterback. He doesn't want Derek Carr.
I say one other thing to consider for the Chargers is they're moving into a new stadium next year. 70,000 seat stadium. They couldn't get enough home fans into a 25,000 seat stadium. They need to bring in a quarterback who's got to sell tickets. Whether that's a young quarterback who, you know, LA can get excited about.
Andy Dalton?
No. No one can get excited about Andy Dalton.
You
or
can.
I might have to.
Or Tom Brady, who, you know, if he moves to LA, that will sell tickets.
But yeah, it would, but it shouldn't. It's going to be bad. I love Tom Brady, but retire, man. Just retire.
Just retire. Yeah.
Please.
You've got a brand to protect now.
Yeah.
So should we move on to the game on Sunday?
There's a game on Sunday.
There's a game on Sunday. What game's that?
Is it as important as the Pro Bowl?
It's slightly more important than the Pro Bowl.
But it's another bowl game.
It's a bowl game.
Is this the bit where we're all too worried to say the phrase sued?
I don't think we can get sued for Super Bowl.
Can we not get
Super Bowl? Oh, yeah, you're only allowed to call it the big game.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. But well, I'm calling it the Super Bowl because it is.
You just call it the Super Bowl.
Well,
now we've said Super Bowl.
Super Bowl several times. Yeah. So we previewed it mostly last week. Does anybody have any pointers they'd like to bring along? Anything they feel has changed?
I feel that the media are starting to get more behind Kansas and portraying the 49ers as underdogs. And I've got no problem with that because
I would agree that I definitely think that.
My head is Kansas and my heart is obviously 49ers.
We are going to find out whether the adage of defense wins titles is true, because easily the best defense in this game is the 49ers.
Absolutely.
And it will be interesting to see whether they can stop Patrick Mahomes running away with it. That is the only thing you can do.
That is the most important thing in terms of, you know, you look at what the Titans did the other week. They only rushed three against Mahomes. They couldn't contain him. The benefit of the 49ers is they got four good pass rushers, and they can contain him from getting outside, but then they've got pressure going through in the middle as well with Buckner and whoever else plays alongside Buckner. So I'd say the 49ers have got the best chance of beating the Chiefs. I would also probably make the Chiefs favourites.
I think they've got to be slight favourites.
I think I worry, like we said last week, I worry about the pace of the Chiefs' attack. But if we can get to Mahomes quickly enough, and if we can stop the pass, and if we can ensure they don't have a running game, and if we can...
So all these boxes you've got to tick.
But then you have to,
this
don't
is
you?
The problem.
Yeah, if you want to win the Super Bowl, you've got to beat the best teams.
I agree. And the Niners have got to tick all these boxes. The problem is Kansas have only got to tick one box, and it's the box that says, can their fastest player get free and Mahomes will pick him out? That's all they have to do. It doesn't matter how many points they give up, they will outscore you if they can do that.
Yeah.
Your cornerbacks aren't fast.
No, they're not.
But that is a problem. That's all. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm just saying if Hardman and Tyreek get free, and you don't get to Mahomes in less than 2 seconds, you're in trouble.
You got a bit more than 2 seconds.
All right, 3 seconds. You're in trouble.
Yeah, because you're not quick enough. I completely agree.
But I don't. That doesn't mean I think it's going to be a walkover. I just that's how Kansas win. It's one box.
Yeah.
And I think the Niners got to tick all the boxes.
It's pretty rare that a Super Bowl is ever a walkover because you've got the two best teams in the NFL playing against each other. And
yeah, we've seen one or two.
We've seen one or two, but not many.
The year Denver played the Seahawks was amazing.
Also, the year Denver played the Panthers was pretty one-sided.
Yeah, it was. So there's been a couple. Well, wouldn't it be great if it turns out to be like last year's defensive absolute stalemate of a game?
Well, I would only enjoy that if 49ers win it. Like if the
49ers, I enjoyed last year's game.
If the 49ers get absolutely destroyed, then fair enough. I'll enjoy the show.
I will remind you of that. Yeah. While you're crying into your eighth beer.
Yeah. If it's a close game, you'll see me at my very worst.
I normally
naked.
Yes.
I normally always think, you know, for a game when this the Super Bowl, how a team starts is really important. And the Chiefs in the last few games have shown
awful first quarters. Awful first quarters hasn't mattered.
I don't think they've come up against a defense like yours.
The 49ers are 24-0 up, like the Texans were. I don't envision, especially with Shanahan's history of, you know, he was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons. I'm going to stop playing with this pen. especially with Shanahan's history when he was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons and giving up that 28-3 lead. Stop playing with
your ring is very noisy.
Yeah, it is. I can't see, you know, Shanahan taking his foot off the gas with the 24-0 up. It'll just keep going. There's been loads of discussion about Garoppolo coming into this match. Obviously, coming off the two playoff games, we haven't seen much of Garoppolo, and that seems to be portrayed as Garoppolo's not very good. I think it's more of just a case of the running game's been really good, and there's not been the need to.
You haven't need to lean on him.
Yeah.
I do. When you put these two quarterbacks back to back, there is a clear winner.
Oh, huge.
And that is the problem. Can you outscore Kansas in a shootout?
Is the differential between the 49ers offense and the Chiefs defense bigger or smaller than the Chiefs offense versus the 49ers defense? I think that's the key, isn't it?
Yeah, and I don't think it's that big. I really don't think. And I don't see how Kansas are going to get much of a running game going.
No.
But I don't know if they'll try. I think they might just go all out air raid.
But then that's what the 49ers do. They go all out running against you. It's fine if you go air raid because that's what we
I'm really looking forward to it. Genuinely, because not having the Patriots in the final helps me to look forward to it. Having Patrick Mahomes helps me to look forward to it. I'd quite like Jimmy G to be successful because I really wanted to keep him when he was with the Patriots. And there are you and Gary to watch. Whichever way it goes, it's either going to be joyous or crying.
This game is must be absolutely amazing for the neutrals because you say one thing, it's like, you're right. That Mahomes, brilliant court. And then it's like, oh, yeah, but the 49ers running attack. Oh, 49ers defense. Yeah, but what about the Chiefs' defense? That suddenly got better in the playoffs. There's so many different factors to this game when you throw in Shanahan versus Andy Reid, Robert Saleh versus Andy Reid, and that defense he's put together. The Sherman going into the second quarter. This would be Jimmy Garoppolo's third ring if he wins the Super Bowl.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Which is ridiculous. There's so many stories to this game that you can get hooked on. It must be amazing for the neutral. It's horrible for the 49ers supporters.
It's horrible for everyone. It's intriguing. It's the most intriguing Super Bowl we could have had from the playoffs, I think. And I'm just really looking forward to it. It's Tevin Coleman fit? Do we know that yet?
Don't know yet.
It hasn't been announced that he's definitely playing. So we'll see. Hopefully he is, because if he's not, that's a big weapon to lose.
Yeah, but I think they have enough to keep the winning game.
Jeff Wilson's pretty decent as well.
So it would appear.
So yeah.
Before we move into the break and then out the other side with our exciting Pick Your Team of the Decade feature. Exciting. I see news that's just come through. Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien has officially become the...
He's the Emperor of
Houston. The Emperor of Texas. Yeah. Will not only be the head coach, but the GM as well. It had happened anyway, in all but name. Yeah. Whether or not he's the right person, I don't know. But I think it's the right move for the franchise to make it official.
Yep, very much so.
Because that was the road they were going down. So make it official. Give him the power. He is a Belichick disciple, which is where I was going with it. And it can work.
Out of the Belichick disciples, he's probably the one that's had the most success. I mean, he's gone to now two playoffs in a row.
Yep. Three out of four.
He's got a good quarterback. The team is pretty well built. There's a lot of money going to need to be invested in the quarterback. The offensive line needs help, although they haven't got many picks now because of the Laramie Tunsil trade. So, but, you know, you look at other Belichick disciples that have gone out there, Romeo Crennel, pretty much a failure. What's his face? Josh McDaniels.
Going to get employed again.
Never going to get employed again, although he probably will.
The Detroit guy, I forgot his name.
Matt Patricia.
Struggling
the
in Detroit.
The Detroit guy.
You know, Brian Flores in Miami.
I try not to say okay.
Brian Flores doing all right.
I think Brian Flores is
He gets another year.
Yeah, he definitely gets another year. But yeah, Brian is, at the moment, far and away the most successful Belichick disciple.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, we should also mention
Dante Scarnecchian.
Yeah, I don't want to believe it, but he is retired, which is one more reason why Brady should also follow him out the door. Because whenever he's not there, our O-line falls apart, and Brady can't take that.
No, it's a loss. Okay, it's now time to pick our team of the decade. So I'll hand you over to GM Jim.
Yep, that's me.
Going to adjudicate. He'll explain the criteria.
He doesn't work for General Motors.
Mike and I will take it in turns to nominate players by position in attempt to build the best roster possible for our all-star team of the 2010s.
Yeah, so we're looking for a team on offense and a team on defense. And players who have been in the league between 2010 and 2019, there's no real criteria to who's on there based on, it's based on your opinion. You know, have they been to lots of Pro Bowls? Have they been the dominant player in their position, unlike Eli Manning?
Cue my opinion being wrong.
Yeah. What are their stats like? Have they been a complete douchebag like Antonio Brown, who did make my shortlist because, you know, too good not to. On offense, we're looking for one quarterback, one running back, two wide receivers, one tight end, and then a flex position, which could be a running back, wide receiver, or tight end. And then the offensive line, obviously, so two tackles, two guards, and a center. We're looking for a kicker, a punter, and then a special teams flex, which could be either a return guy or what they call a gunner. And then on the defense, two defensive tackles, two edge rushers, so that could be either an outside linebacker or a defensive end, two middle linebackers, two cornerbacks, two safeties, and another flex. John and Griff are going to nominate their chosen players, and I think we've got Paul's entries.
He's got one.
If we want to. And then I will be picking the winner because, you know, I know most about football.
Okay, well, where do you want us to start?
So let's start on offense and let's start with the very top quarterback and work through the skill positions and then we'll go to the offensive line.
Okay.
F becomes before G, so you get to go first.
Should have tossed a coin, really, shouldn't we?
Okay, well, I went with Aaron Rodgers for my quarterback. Two MVPs in the decade, Super Bowl win. The only two quarterbacks had two MVPs. One of the him and Thomas Brady. Brady, like the second one he won was just a joke. And I can't ignore the three Super Bowls, but to me, the peak of Rodgers in 2011 was the best quarterback we've seen possibly until Patrick Mahomes last year. I went through so many other players we mentioned before recording. Like, this is a decade in which Peyton Manning got 50 touchdowns.
Two Super Bowl appearances.
Exactly, yeah. You know,
MVP.
The sort of emergence of Russell Wilson, like, we can't ignore Brady's three rings, but I went with Rodgers, and I expect Michael has gone a different way.
Probably not the way you think.
Oh, okay, but why have you picked Andy Dalton?
You think I've picked Tom Brady.
No, I don't.
I haven't. I've picked Russell Wilson because he's clearly the best quarterback of the last 10 years. Because Aaron Rodgers is on a downward trend, and Aaron Rodgers would have been third. I had Wilson, Brady, and then Rodgers. And Wilson is still cresting. He's still one of the best two or three quarterbacks every year, which Aaron Rodgers is not. We've been through this a thousand times.
Just this last year. Last year.
Oh, and the year before.
Last year he played injured.
True.
Do you remember the game against the first game of last season, mm-hmm. Chicago, that when the Chicago defense was what they should have been, and you know, he led that fourth quarter drive to win the game. He looked like the Rodgers of old. But he was injured. But they played him through. It didn't look great. I still think if you're going on highest highs, the Rodgers of 2011 was just the best quarterback that the decade has seen.
Out of interest, what did Paul pick?
Paul picked Thomas Brady.
Most regular season wins by a quarterback in their first eight seasons. Tom Brady and Russell Wilson, 86. Not Aaron Rodgers.
But that's also based on the team. The wins are also based on the Seattle defense. Aaron Rodgers hasn't had the Seattle defense.
No, but Aaron Rodgers has had wide receivers, which Russell Wilson has not had.
He had Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, he's had
one.
Sure
he's had Golden, one each season.
Golden Tate.
Yeah,
one each season.
And a really good running game with him as well.
Yeah, he had Marshawn Lynch, absolutely. The last 10 years, he has consistently outplayed Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, when they won the Super Bowl, what score was it before Russell Wilson scored an offensive touchdown?
I have no idea, but I know
it was 22-0.
Terrible.
It was based on the defense.
Which is why I didn't start with the Super Bowl. Because they both only have one, so it's irrelevant because it cancels it out.
Hang on, no, Paul picked Tom Brady. What we forgot to say in the rules is I get one veto.
Yeah.
You do.
On offense and then one veto on defense.
First and only quarterback in the NFL to have reached 4,000 passing yards, 30 passing touchdowns and 500 rushing yards in the same season, Russell Wilson, 2015. He was amazing that year. He blew Aaron Rodgers out of the water. I'm so disappointed in you, John Farrow, that we've started off on Aaron Rodgers.
I'm disappointed in you both, to be honest with you. I thought this was a lock.
You thought this was Tom Brady?
Yeah, he's been ten Pro Bowls, three All Pros, three Super Bowls. He's been MVP a number of times. I don't understand.
I don't want to play the race card, but first black quarterback to start in multiple Super Bowls.
You just played the race
card. Well, I'm just saying, if you don't pick him, you're a racist.
Such an asshole. I don't understand how you. Like, yes, I get John's point about Aaron Rodgers in that that period probably between 2011 and 2015, he was undoubtedly the best quarterback in the game and probably one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, which will send him to the Hall of Fame.
So Russell, for half of the time we're talking about.
Yeah, but Russell Wilson hasn't been around for the whole 10 years.
He's been around for eight of them.
Yeah, Russell Wilson is a very good quarterback. He's won a Super Bowl, but I kind of agree with John. It was on the back of a very good defense.
As do I.
He has been unlucky in that he's not had brilliant wide receivers. Doug Baldwin's probably the only one.
He's the standout.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's also been hampered by a very bad offensive line, which has been pretty bad for a number of years.
Mm.
But if I look at Russell Wilson this season, he's still not as good as Aaron Rodgers was.
Aaron Rodgers had one amazing year.
No, he didn't. He had a couple of. Well,
it was incredibly overrated. They didn't win that many games because he wasn't that good.
Duncan's probably going nuts now because he had a great year when they won the Super Bowl. And he had another couple of great years where they went. I think they went 15-1 one year and they got knocked out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he was good a couple of years after that as well.
I think 10, 11, and 14 were his best seasons.
But.
And that's it. Other than that, he's not been that good. They don't win on the road. He's sub 500 on the road.
MVPs.
He's sub 500 on the road. Russell Wilson has the most away wins.
Honestly, if we're going to be talking about this position for this long, this is going to be a long podcast.
Stats that aren't based around the team.
I am disgusted with you that you would pick Aaron Rodgers. I'm absolutely
with you.
Why? Because you assumed I would pick Tom Brady.
Yes, we did.
And it's wrong.
You're just being awkward,
because John's no, because John's just said you don't want things that are picked around the team, and Brady doesn't win all those Super Bowls without Belichick and the team.
But that's so I couldn't pick Brady.
Thank you. So John and I agree on something, and Jim is already wrong.
Fine. Then I'm picking Aaron Rodgers.
If you give Rodgers, Belichick, and his coaching team.
They've never lost a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I agree. I could not agree more.
I'm going Aaron Rodgers, A, because Russell Wilson also has the misfortune of playing for the Seahawks.
Fair enough.
Right, on to running backs.
I get to go first this time.
Yeah.
I've picked Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, I'd go Adrian Peterson.
Oh, that was quick.
Only running back to have won the MVP in the decade.
Interestingly, across the decade, LeSean McCoy has more rushing yards than Peterson.
Out of interest, who did you pick second? I picked Marshawn Lynch. I knew that was going to happen. One way or the other that was going to be. There you go. That is why we could spend so long debating the fact that you're wrong at quarterback, because I knew that some of these were going to be so short.
I'm just looking at Paul picked Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Well,
I think that's
Paul's second choice for running back was Zeke, which is a new one, but he's not done enough yet, but he's a special talent.
I think he gets an honorable mention. I think Todd Gurley probably gets an honorable mention. He can't be included because he's just been so inconsistent.
Le'Veon
Bell is another one that made my list as well.
DeMarco Murray, not a thing, but peaks and troughs. When he's good, he was very good.
He had one season.
Yeah, a couple of good years, but
a couple of above average years and one stellar season.
What do you want next?
Two wide receivers, please.
So do you want to pick wide receiver one, and we'll see what we've got, and then we'll go for wide receiver two. I think, go on.
I've gone wide receiver one, I've gone Calvin Johnson.
Okay, I'm prepared to concede that. He was my second choice as wide receiver one.
Okay.
I had picked Julio as...
Well, he was my wide receiver two.
So then we are agreed that Julio and Calvin Johnson are the best two wide receivers. I had Antonio Brown and Brandon Marshall as the next one. Marshall scored the fourth most touchdowns in the decade.
I had Antonio Brown. You can't ignore the fact he got 14,319 yards.
That is exactly correct.
I actually had Antonio Brown second, but I will...
You'll concede, wouldn't you?
I'll concede because Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson Calvin Johnson
second is because he didn't play for the full extent of his career. If he had played another 3 years... He is undoubtedly the best wide receiver of all time.
He retired early, effectively.
And rightly so. Felt like that was what he needed to
and
do.
All his Pro Bowls came within this decade, and that is six Pro Bowls and three All Pros. And he was a dominant. He was the best.
He was easily the best receiver
in a five.
I also found some common ground.
Also had Larry down there.
I didn't either.
It only is a notable mention, but
this comes back to what Duncan always says about Frank Gore, in that longevity does not buy you a ticket to all the things, and that Fitzgerald has not been consistently as good. He's just been playing for a long time, so he gets the numbers.
I always think Larry is great. He's been playing on some
shonky
crap
teams.
Josh Rosen for a year.
Terrible thing.
Josh Rosen.
I've got honourable mentions for AJ Green and DeAndre Hopkins as well.
Paul had Hopkins as a pick.
Because he has been basically quarterback proof. No, Deshaun Watson's the first good quarterback he's played with.
Yeah.
And we can't ignore Michael Thomas. I know he's only played 5 years.
I think it's five now. He was next on my list after Brandon Marshall, but I think Marshall massively underrated. Don't forget how good he was at the Bears with
that's a fair point.
Cutler.
Yeah.
And he was great on the Dolphins. And, he was an excellent player. And I think it was the fourth most touchdowns in the decade. I felt he deserved a mention.
I agree. I forgot about him.
Let's move on to tight ends, and then we'll kind of decide on
I'm
on
fairly
a flex.
Sure this is going to be a lock.
I hope it is a lock.
I thought the
quarterback could be a lock. So
it has to be Gronk. It has to be Gronk.
Yeah.
It has to be Gronk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did everyone have as a second choice? I had Antonio Gates.
Oh, no.
I thought of Gates, and I went with Kelsey. I think Kelsey's just the next best thing we've got to Gronk.
I think Jimmy Graham. The beginning of the decade, Jimmy Graham was...
10 to 14, he was amazing.
You think about those fantasy drafts back in the day. You had both Gronk and Graham going in the top two rounds.
We did go with Gronk, and that's the best thing. And while we're on the subject, I'm so glad he didn't come back. Because A, that team didn't deserve him. And B, it'll be the best thing for Gronk. If he come back, he'd just get injured.
he's going to be injured. It isn't going to ruin a legacy, but it might tarnish a legacy.
Yeah, I absolutely agree.
So let's move on to flex, and this could be a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end, or Taysom Hill.
John, would you like to nominate first?
For the 5 years when he was totally unplayable, I had to go with Marshawn Lynch. I picked
LeSean McCoy because I felt he was better in the passing game than Marshawn Lynch. And I felt if you wanted a flex player and you're looking at it from a fantasy point of view as well as an actual playing point of view, I would, in the similar time frame, I would have taken LeSean McCoy as the better pass catcher. If you have a particular preference for LeSean Lynch, I am more than happy to step aside.
I'm quite happy to concede LeSean McCoy.
I think they're both excellent choices. I'm surprised no one's mentioned Antonio Brown.
Well, like I say, I would have had him up earlier. He was next after Calvin Johnson for me. He would have been my third wide receiver. But I felt it was important to include another running back in this because we were only having one.
I wanted another running back. Maybe it's just my fantasy football preferences. Also, I know it's not a moral issue.
Seven Pro Bowls, four All Pros.
I just think he's a dick.
Yeah, he is.
He is a dick. But
he's
what did Paul pick? Because that this might
really no Paul picked Sir Zeke.
See, Zeke was next again on my list after McCoy because I'd got
Paul
Lynch
had
earlier.
Paul's wide receivers were Antonio Brown and DeAndre Hopkins.
Jim, you're going to have to make the choice here. Yeah. Silence on a podcast.
I know.
Silence on a podcast.
I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch because I do agree he was, that, like you say, those few years.
Five years, he was amazing.
He was in Seattle. He was absolutely dominant. And, yeah, he's a great player.
This is where it's going to get interesting with O-lines because it's going to be difficult to quantify. There's not a huge number of stats.
No, you don't really have stats for O-lines.
Well, you have sacks conceded and then a passing and running blocking grade. And that's it. Yeah. So this could lead to some interesting conversation as opposed to great debate because I don't think any of us know how to grade them very well.
No, I mean, let's face it, we're not NFL scouts. We have opinions about the NFL, but they don't really stretch into the technicalities of the offensive line.
On that basis, I would like to go first with offensive tackle.
I will pick
one and then I'll allow John if he would like to step up. I'm taking Joe Thomas.
I had Joe Thomas.
Joe Thomas top of mine as well. So
he's going to Canton, isn't he? Quite frankly.
So he's a lock. Shall I continue or would you like to pick one next?
Well, I'll go.
Go on then.
I picked Tyron Smith.
I also picked Tyron Smith from the Cowboys.
And he was second on mine as well.
When he's not in that team,
you notice
when he's not in
not
that team,
there.
It falls apart.
I think that's one of the key things about offensive line, isn't it? When the player isn't in that team and suddenly the quarterback starts getting absolutely destroyed, it's very noticeable. I mean, honourable mentions for Jason Peters, Joe Staley, Trent Williams and Andrew Whitworth.
Andrew Whitworth was my next one up.
Yeah.
I had Andrew Whitworth, Joe Staley and Jason Peters. Bizarrely, my only Eagles are on the offensive line. But that offensive line, especially Super Bowl year, they were brilliant.
Yeah, let's go to the guards then. Two guards.
Do you want to go first?
Fire away.
Zach Martin.
I also had Zach Martin. He was my second choice, but I had Zach Martin. I ahead of him, I had David DeCastro of the Steelers.
I had Marshall Yanda.
I had him third.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Marshall Yanda for the second. Well, I actually had him top. I had Zach Martin second.
DeCastro
was
notable.
My other choice there, because I had four. So I had DeCastro, Martin, Yanda, and Shaq Mason at the Patriots, who's been incredible.
He has been great. I also had Evan Mathis and Josh Sitton. Try saying that quickly.
Well, you did, and it didn't work, did it?
And he shitted it up.
Well, I forgot for tackles as well, Lane Johnson's been brilliant.
He has indeed.
This is actually, I think, one of the hardest positions, is center. I had five on a shortlist, and I'd be happy with any five of those on the 49ers team right now. So one center, you know, whose pick is it? Is it Griff?
I'm doubtlessly going to get slated for this. I'm going with David Andrews, center of the Patriots, because he keeps Brady from getting knocked over every week.
He did not make my shortlist.
No, I didn't think he would have done.
Marquise Pouncey.
He was second on my list.
For the Steelers, just because the stats you mentioned there that they can have, he leads them all, and he also kicked Myles Garrett in the head this year, which I think is great.
Brilliant. Well, we're going to go with Pounce here. I agree, the Patriots' choice was a good one.
Basically, Andrews has won two Super Bowls and Brady had barely been touched in either of them.
Yeah. It's fair. I will say on that list of five, I had Alex Mack, who spent a lot of time with the Browns, but then went to the Falcons, had great success there. Ryan Khalil, Travis Frederick, and Jason Kelce as well.
I had Jason Kelce. Bizarrely, there were times, you look at the back, and the Browns were so shit for so long.
They had a lot of good O-linemen.
Their O-linemen.
Joel Batonio.
Yeah.
Great player.
Zeitler.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's some talent. And
they go unnoticed because they won nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a shame that they had all the talent on the offensive line with nothing else. Now they've got everything else and no offensive line.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's have your kickers, gentlemen.
Kickers, you say?
Kickers. I want kickers.
I'm assuming we've both gone Justin Tucker.
Yeah.
I had Vinatieri as second because up until last year, he was the next most accurate kicker.
I didn't have another kicker because I didn't even bother thinking about
it. It's got to be Tucker.
Gostowski and Greg Zuerlein, I think, have both been...
But it's got to be Tucker, right? But
yeah, it's Tucker.
Do you want the rest of the special teams? Or
let's go punter.
John?
I had Hecker.
I also had Hecker with Shane Lechler next up, as he has actually the most average, but Hecker also a throwing threat on. And random special teamer, you want to pick someone out here? This was a little bit harder, but...
Yeah. I thought very simplistically, and I went with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Okay, I'd got a list of Devin Hester, who did a lot of his work right at the beginning of this decade. Darren Sproles, who gets injured too much, but when he plays, is an incredible return player. And then, this was what Jim was alluding to when we started this, Matthew Slater, who has been on the Patriots roster for 48 years, has never caught a pass in a regular season. Oh, no, one pass in a regular season.
Eight Pro Bowls.
Eight Pro Bowls. Pros. Yeah, and
three Super Bowls,
and has captained the special team for 12 of 15 years.
Yeah.
I think he's a fair shout for this position.
I also had Cordarrelle Patterson on mine, but I also had Matthew Slater. He's been probably one of the most underrated players, if that makes sense. In that, he's underrated, but everyone seems to know about him. He, like I said, the stats speak for himself.
For a guy who's almost as old as Brady, he gets down the field incredibly quickly. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I don't think anyone can argue with that. Hester was a fantastic return man, but it all was at the beginning of this decade. Kind of,
yeah, his was towards so the end front of the last loaded. Decade. But yeah, he held the record for most touchdowns.
Kickoff returns,
yeah.
Also wanted an honourable mention here for the best kickoff return I've ever seen, which was Jacoby Jones.
Yes.
The last time the 49ers made the Super Bowl.
That was fun.
That was an amazing return.
Yeah, that was great.
I can't think why I wanted to bring that up.
Moving swiftly on.
That's called being a cunt.
Yes. On to the defense. So I didn't really have to use a veto there because apart from the quarterback, most of the decisions were in unison with. So I have a veto for the defense if I choose to use it. I want two defensive tackles, two edge rushers, two middle linebackers, two cornerbacks, two safeties, and then a flex can be any one of those five.
Am I going first this time?
So we'll start. Do you want to go with defensive tackles?
Okay, well, Aaron Donald.
Yes.
Aaron Donald, without doubt, has to be nailed on.
Sorry, John, without even getting your nomination.
I'm assuming you've picked Aaron Donald.
I have picked Aaron Donald. The second one, I found this was the hardest one. I think I've just completely overthought it.
I think I know who you should have picked, but go on.
Because
there's a clear standout, but it took me a while to get to them.
I have a clear standout as well. I wondered if you're going to choose the same player.
I was going to go with
While you think about it.
Yeah.
Then, but I thought about it and thought about it. And I went with Fletcher Cox, who was a player I've really enjoyed. I think the Eagles' defensive line is more collaborative. I think Atkins.
I went with Ndamukong Suh because between 2010 and 2016, he was just unstoppable. He's been a bit lazy of the last couple of years, but I can't fault. I had Atkins and Cox as my next two up, so I don't fault any of those.
So who was your first choice? I mean, you had Donald, but
I had Donald and Cox.
I'm going to use a veto here, and I'm going to select Geno Atkins because he's been on a bad team, but
A, he's been to 8 Pro Bowls. He's 2 All Pros. I mean, he's been in the league the whole decade. He's got 75 and a half sacks.
Do you want to tell Ndamukong Suh that you haven't put him in our team of the decade?
I do not.
He had 86 sacks, by the way.
As long as it's...
But as long as Jim Atkins has been more consistent.
Yeah, that's not hard, is it? Ndamukong Suh only turns up for 4 games a season.
Jim can run away from him for at least 13 miles.
Yeah. Then he'd be knackered.
Paul had Donald.
And Ndamukong Suh's only got 58 sacks.
How many?
58 sacks.
No, he had millions. Millions of sacks.
58.5 sacks, according to Pro Football Reference.
Oh, okay. I wasn't only guessing. I had no real idea. I thought if I said it with enough authority, you might believe me.
Well, I almost did.
I'm just terrified.
That's why I had to check.
I'm just terrified that Ndamukong Suh might turn up in my dreams. Edge rushers. I've gone with an obvious one. I'm sorry, is it your turn first? Far away. I apologise.
There's the obvious one.
I'm going to assume it's Khalil Mack.
No.
Oh.
He was my honourable mention.
Go on.
JJ Watt.
I defied Jim's instruction. I only put him 4th on my list because he gets injured too much. I had Khalil Mack.
When he's fit.
And Von Miller.
I had Von Miller as well. Von Miller was my number one.
Third up was Robert Mathis, leading sacks in 2013. Massively underrated at the start of this decade. And the fact that he retired at the end of 2014 has left him not considered for many of these things. I think JJ Watt gets injured too much.
That is genuinely my opinion.
He's the best.
He is the best.
He is the best, but he gets injured too much. And this is why I didn't pick Brown as a wide receiver, because he's a dick. And JJ Watt's not on the field enough.
He is the best, but 5 Pro Bowls, 5 All Pros, 2012 Defensive Player of the Year.
It's JJ Watt.
2014 Defensive Player of the Year, 2015 Defensive Player of the
Year. Yeah, absolutely.
It's the same, a very similar argument to Aaron Rodgers. When he is in the game, he is on top, absolutely.
Definitely.
You know, but when you think back to that draft, what was it, 2012?
2011, right.
I've gone with J.J. Watt and Von Miller.
They
both came out that same draft. And Alden Smith as well for 49ers, who was brilliant when he first started. You know, him and Watt were vying for the most sacks in, I think it was 2012. I think they both got up to 19 or 20 sacks. That was a great draft. But, Watt and Von Miller for their edge rushers. Middle linebackers.
This one's tricky.
No, it's not.
I find this super easy.
Did you? What that means is I've got it wrong. No. Go on.
Keekly, Bobby Wagner.
Oh, yes. I picked the same as you.
Oh, I had the same as well.
Keekly and Bobby Wagner.
Paul also picked Keekly and Bobby Wagner.
For the record, my next two up were definitely more weighted at this end of the decade. I had Mosley and Leighton Van Der Esch, who I think is an incredible linebacker.
Mosley's a good shout as well.
I had Navarro Bowman and Lavonte David.
Lavonte David only had 1 Pro Bowl, but it's been a very dominant player at linebacker.
Yeah, he seems to go under the radar a lot. But yeah, if you put Keekly and Wagner on the same team, people would have died. So I figured that was
fair. You would never have been able to pass on that team at all. No tight end would have ever received a ball. Honourable mentions from my side, Thomas Davis.
Ah, yeah.
And then, to your point about players, they get injured a lot, but when they are on the team, they make a massive difference to their team. Sean Lee, Dallas Cowboys.
Sean Lee.
He'd been next up for me.
You can't put him in that.
But he's only got 2 16-game seasons in a 12-13 season career. It's just not enough.
I also had Patrick Willis, because I love Patrick Willis, but he didn't play that very much within a decade. And Deontay Hightower as well.
I forgot about him.
Not many Pro Bowls, but again, he's one of these players that's just been really consistent for the Patriots. He is one of those.
You notice when he's not there.
He's one of those players that Belichick leans on a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
Cornerbacks.
Who's up first this time?
Do you want to go who won?
Well, okay, I'm taking Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Because I just think he is the best cornerback of the decade. He is this decade's Darrell Revis.
Yes.
Okay. For my other quarterback, I went Patrick Peterson.
Okay, Patrick Peterson was 4th on my list. I had 3rd on my list. I had Gilmore, because I think over the last 3 or 4 years, he's been the best.
I had him on my list, but Patrick Peterson's been...
And then Aqib Talib was next up.
I had Darrell Revis on my short list.
He did not play enough in this decade, not well enough in this decade.
I might mention him later.
Oh, okay. I did not... I just thought it was at the... He had one good year in the 2010s, I think.
He was
2010 and 2014.
I would have gone Aqib Talib ahead of him, but I've gone Pat Pete because, again, Talking about dominant cornerbacks, especially towards that middle part of the decade.
Yeah, it was incredible.
All Richard Sherman and Pat Patrick.
Yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, both in the NFC West. Were the
What can you do?
And then safeties. I think there's one easy choice here, and I've got one.
Earl Thomas.
Yeah. Earl Thomas. Yes, agreed.
And I've stuck with the Legion of Boom, and I've gone Cam Chancellor.
Now, I agree. If you look on my list, Cam Chancellor is the fourth one I picked. I actually picked Eric Weddle because when the Ravens were winning, and now he's moved and he's been brilliant where he's been since. Eric Weddle's interceptions and forced fumbles and things like that, just incredible. I had Eric Berry and then Cam Chancellor.
I had Eric Berry and Eric Weddle. I wanted to pick Berry because when he was playing, it was great.
Yeah. But 2015 when he was comeback player of the year and he was just amazing.
Yeah.
Gonna go with Eric Weddle. Cam Chancellor was is a very good player, that's not doubt. But I think
he's a Seahawk.
He was a Seahawk. But B, I think he benefited
from having Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman. Two names you've not mentioned actually. One is Harrison Smith, who's 5 Pro Bowls and 1 All Pro, and he's been one of the best
for
the Vikings.
Yeah, that's fair.
And another one, Devin McCourty. Doesn't get a lot of recognition. He's just one of these players that when he's missing, you notice
it. I struggle with Patriots players, and I think I mentioned the center earlier, but I struggle with them because I always discount the fact that they've got Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these, basically, every time we see a Patriots player go somewhere else, they're crap.
I always think.
But like, I agree, but then I think now, and I think I shouldn't hold it against him because they had. Doesn't matter.
I completely agree with you. When you see Patriots players go elsewhere, they're bad. But when you think, when you look at the players that Belichick keeps, Brady, Donta Hightower, and now Devin McCourty. Those are 3 massively key players within 3 Super Bowl wins. I just think they're really important.
Yeah, I agree.
But I've gone with Eric Weddle because that's who you choose, and I've used my veto up on Geno Atkins. All right, flex. So any position, I mean, obviously we're not playing to any sort of formation or 3-4, 4-3, whatever it might be.
We're playing to kill the opposition,
to kill the opposition, so.
John?
Yeah.
I had Doyle Revis for those. I know he was better with the previous decade.
10 and
he was
14
still people. Very good
yep.
this decade. He was. But I do regret that now.
you can change it.
I am going to pick. I'm going to pick.
Repeat yourself, why don't you?
I am going to pick.
Christ Almighty. Oh, I had Bowman and then Tyrann Mathieu. So.
I forgot Matthew.
I don't mind which of those two, but I had Bowman and then Matthew as my 2 flex potentials.
For the sake of...
You want to take Navarro Bowman now, don't you?
The fact that I don't think we've got any 49ers on here.
Sherman.
Sherman, you got Sherman. But you can have Navarro Bowman.
I'm going to go Bowman.
I think that's fair.
For completion, for cornerback, Paul had Revis and Sherman.
You're taking Paul to completion?
Don't.
For safety, Paul had Thomas and Adams.
Jamal Adams, yeah.
For his edge rushers, he had JJ Watt and Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews had 1 good season.
One and a half,
There's a lot.
Is that all of them? Have we done it?
We're there.
Wow,
yeah.
That is a good team. Would you like to run through it?
I'll run through it. So on the offense side, we've got Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Laughable.
Adrian Peterson at running back, and we've got a flex of Marshawn Lynch. Wide receivers, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, and our tight end is Gronkowski. That's pretty good in the skill positions.
Yeah, that's not a bad team, is it?
Our 2 tackles, Joe Thomas and Tyrann Smith. 2 guards, Zach Martin, Marshall Yonder, and Marquis Pouncey at center. And then on the defense side of the ball, defensive tackles of Aaron Donald and Geno Atkins. Edge rushers are J.J. Watt, Von Miller. Middle linebackers, Luke Kuechly, Bobby Wagner, 2 cornerbacks, Richard Sherman and Patrick Peterson, safeties of Earl Thomas and Eric Weddle, and then we've got a flex position, which is another linebacker, is Navarro Bowman, Justin Tucker as kicker, Johnny Hecker as punter, and then Matthew Slater as our special teams wild card.
That is an awesome team. Congratulations.
I think that would do pretty well, yeah.
Well done, everyone. I think we'd have no money left for the GM. But
it would only be $100 billion over the salary cap.
That's just an error. Imagine if there was no salary cap and you could put that team together.
It would be
apart from the quarterback, who's crap. Other than that, that's an amazing team. Disgusted with the pair of you. Really am.
Still amazed that Tom Brady's not there.
Well, really? It took him 10 years to win his fourth, fifth, and sixth Super Bowls. What was he playing at all that time? Dicking about.
He did his knee in.
He's obviously good.
We've said it before, right? Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback, but he's never been the best quarterback. That's fair. It's true. Never on one season have you gone, he's clearly the best quarterback this season. Never, never, ever.
No.
Even when he was really good, Peyton Manning was actually better.
Yeah.
It's just he never won in the playoffs. Yep. True. And Peyton Manning also, by the way, deserves an honorable mention. Had two or three great seasons in this decade.
And then
fell off a cliff. Well, literally fell off a cliff.
And then won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And then won a Super Bowl.
Halfway down the cliff.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, no, we will.
I was interested to know whether it would be possible to do a worst team of the decade if you said that players have got to have played 16 games as a minimum. Because I don't want you all just to pick Nate Peterman.
Oh.
But maybe the week after the Super Bowl, we could try that one out.
We could, yeah.
I already started because it's funny.
Our worst team of the decade.
Yeah, it's the Browns.
Trent Richardson at running back.
Don't spoil it for me. Yeah. But yeah, maybe.
The O-line's just the Giants. Jeez.
I suspect Flowers might get a few mentions.
Yeah.
How has that man played six seasons in the NFL?
He's still going.
Yeah, that's what I mean. He's still spinning round and round on the spot.
Wasn't he a first round pick as well?
Yes,
yep.
He must be loaded.
Yep, loaded and rubbish.
He must be doing all right for himself. He probably never has to work again.
It's better than being broken. Great.
True.
Yep.
Well, on that note, we'll leave you. Hope you enjoy the Super Bowl. We'll see you next week when we discuss all that happens in the big game. And until then, hopefully not too much tears from you, Jim. But we'll see you next week. Goodbye.